because I'm in a bunny suit doesn't mean I haven't stumbled across a basic truth now and then.
DVD on your radio.
In a super special sexy time, small screen entertainment's where it's at. On a Tuesday morning, QuickFlix's Simon Moraldo settles in to watch and review the shiny flickering images he devours each and every day, and today is no different, with a mixed bag of brand new movies and TV under review.
That's right, today is no different, Pete. Every week I like to come here every Tuesday morning and talk about the latest DVD and streaming releases on QuickFlix.
Yeah, isn't it funny how all you have to do is turn your head away from life and stick it down a toilet bowl for a little while, and when you re-emerge,
there's a whole world of entertainment there waiting for you. All this stuff that you didn't know about. Well, it's good that you're back, because it's been a flat couple of weeks, but this is actually one of the richer weeks of releases in recent memory, certainly in 2014. So I'm excited for these recommendations, and I've got to tell you, the first one here, I mean, it's only just turned April, but Pete, this is easily a contender for one of my favourite films of 2014, and it's a pretty interesting picture. It's Icelandic, and it's from the provocative filmmaker Olaf Bogelson, who people know. He's one of the more notorious names in international cinema.
Yeah, some of his stuff is very controversial, very confronting.
Absolutely, and his latest is no different, and forgive the pronunciation, but its Icelandic title is Salsauki af bonum minum og bonum salsauka min, which translates to the pain of my children and the children of my pain. Now, this is the biography, the biopic rather, you may have heard about it, about the Icelandic poet Borg Romulansson, who, untimely death at the age of 25, but prior to that, had served 16 years in prison, fathered 8 children to 7 different women, and won the Nobel Prize for Literature. So,
a full and rich life.
A full and rich life.
Cut short.
Cut short at 25 when he died tragically in a freak curling accident.
Yeah, curling. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought, right? And it was pretty... I mean, I remember when it was on the news, because this is only about a decade ago when this all went down. And, you know, it was kind of a long time of mourning in Icelandic culture, and I don't know if they've really recovered in the world of poetry. But Bogelson does put together this really warm portrait of a man that doesn't shy away from his darker aspects. Mm. And I tell you what, there's, you know, it's an Icelandic film, it's not a lick of English in it, but there already is some rumblings for Academy attention for the actor who plays Borg, Ralph Skúti Bjarnason.
He got the role.
He got the role. People may know him from some Icelandic TV shows that are kind of hot at the moment.
Yeah.
So, Ralph, there's the kind of the centerpiece of the movie that everyone's sort of talking about, and that it's going to be the Oscar clip when he is inevitably nominated. It's sort of this 45-minute sustained shot on his face, like extreme close-up, Les Mis style, and he's just kind of howling into the camera, and his voice breaks, and it's really, it's tough going. I mean, the movie is 5 hours total.
Oh, it's powerful.
It's powerful stuff, and unfortunately, when Luna, the art house cinema here in Perth, they only had the hour 15 cut. From that played Khan, and so they kind of had the abridged version. The howling sequence was only about 25 minutes in that version. Mm. So when it comes out on DVD this week, it is the full 5-hour cut, and that's the one I recommend people sit through, because it is, you're getting the full experience there, and that's the way that Bogelson wanted it.
That was his vision. That was his dream.
Absolutely, his vision. I mean, Bogelson.
That's the true life of our friend.
Yeah, Borg Romulansson. Yeah, that is the story. And to have an abridged version of that just feels kind of uncompromising. I mean, the irony is that he had led a life abridged, if you will, by passing away at 25. But still, I think the 5-hour cut is more to his honour. And Bogelson, interesting director. I'm keen to see if any listeners have a particular favourite Bogelson film. I don't know if you do. I know that you're a fan of his last film, Hornswoggler. That came out 3 years ago, I think.
It's an underrated classic, an absolute underrated classic. And I'm looking forward to Hornswoggler 2, The Hornswoggling.
Yeah, that's coming. That's coming. That's
in the works.
2 years away.
Yeah.
That's sort of his more sort of popular series, but it's nice to see him go back.
I know James Franco, Seth Rogen have got their eyes on it as their own version.
Yeah, they're eyeing the American remake, which will be... Yeah, we'll have to discuss that in another episode, because that will be interesting. I don't know if anyone will do the English language remake of the Borg Romulansson story, but nonetheless, Salsauki af bonum minum og bonum salsauka min, that is out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Pete.
Yeah, tell us your own favourite
Bogelson film.
Studio at rtrfm.com.au or tweet at rtrfm. The Black Lips on Breakfast and Boys in the Wood. Videos directed by Boggleson. And you can tell his trademark Boggle all over it this morning on the Sound Alternative.
You would expect as much from him. And we had a few tweets in, but most, I mean, quite decisively, Hornswoggle is the favoured Boggleson film. And I'm not going to begrudge the RTRFM listeners that.
No, and it's 50-50 split as so far as to whether people are looking forward to the American remake.
Yeah, it's, I think, sort of a morbid fascination is probably the best description of people looking forward to that one.
Simon Morado from QuickFlix is with me this morning. Lo and behold, a brand new heap of new titles has just dropped.
That's right. So we've got one more film and then a TV show after that that I know you're excited to talk about,
oh,
Pete. But
man,
first of all, a little bit more popular than the Icelandic movie that we just discussed is the blockbuster that finally arrives on DVD and Blu-ray this week. The young adult sensation, Pete, Daphne Zuniga and the Bony Instrument. If you've not heard of it, ask your kids, ask your nephews, nieces. They are familiar with the Daphne Zuniga series.
They sure are. It's emerged online, clearly, in its original form.
Yeah, but based on an e-book and then spun off into... But I tell you what, you go on Amazon right now, you've got your local bookstore sitting atop Hunger Games, Divergent, Twilight. It's the Daphne Zuniga series of books. And this... I can't believe that the movie squad, you know, the guys that come on here every Friday talk about the biggest cinema releases, they didn't discuss this one. Maybe they thought, ah, look, it's not going to hit. People, it'll just bomb like those other YA films. Joke's on them.
It is.
$600 million worldwide, one of the bigger hits of 2013. So, look, we're talking about it now, which is the important thing. And for those who happen to be unfamiliar with it, that were living under a rock when The Bony Instrument came out, it stars Emma Stone as Daphne Zuniga, the title character. Actually, a six-year-old child who has that disease from the movie Jack. That makes her look like a 20-something woman.
Yeah.
She teams up with her adopted father, played by Samuel L. Jackson, to keep the president from accidentally starting a war with the people of Venus. I think, look, I liked it. I think the movie's good. It's one misstep, casting Macklemore as the president. that haircut is not doing anyone any favours.
It's a surprise casting.
It was a surprise. They kind of play it as, like, they're kind of winking at us, but also you can imagine Macklemore's agent was like, I want to need it. Because he's kind of, like, for those who haven't read the book, it's like sexy president. It's a few years in the future. He's, like, 29. He's a bit hip. The people, like, in the same way that Obama, you know, became popular because, you know, Between Two Ferns, and he's doing all the social media stuff now. This sexy president gets in on a wave of Twitter and Instagram popularity.
Totally.
So that's a misstep. But I actually think this is a pretty decent young adult series. It's not quite as dark as the Hunger Games movies in that only most of the cast die viciously in this.
Yeah.
And everyone who's read the books knows that the sequel, The Bonier Instrument, that's the actual... That's the one where all the really good stuff goes down. Like, that's the one you're kind of investing in the series for.
Mm.
Still, I think you could do a lot worse than by giving Bony Instrument a chance. The Daphne Zuniga series. Emma Stone's great.
Yeah, she's good in everything.
She's good in everything, even playing a six-year-old. So, yeah, I think people should look out for that, although it'd be hard to miss when it arrives on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Pete, TV, that's where we live. That's where you and I live. I mean, you're a father. Sometimes you find it hard to head to the movies and see a film.
That's right.
But TV, you can always catch up on. You're watching True Detective at the moment.
I'm watching True Detective. I've been enjoying that. I'm looking forward to the various spin-offs that are on the way.
Absolutely, yeah. That was interesting news.
True Lawyer is coming.
Yes, I thought that was interesting. True Caddy was interesting.
True Caddy
when they announced, because they announced three of them, I think, yesterday.
Yes, that was a surprise.
Sunday evening. True Caddy will be, anyway. But, nonetheless, they're shows we haven't seen. Let's talk about a show we have seen.
I forgot to tell you, I have been watching this beautiful little German dramedy called How I Met Your Mutter.
Oh, how is that?
It's coming along nicely. It's taken a very odd turn, season 2, episode 3.
Oh, I've read about episode 3. I'm trying to stay spoiler-free because I haven't caught up on it yet.
But that's just as a sideline, How I Met Your Mutter.
Okay.
Can you check that out as well?
Interesting. All right,
Netflix is streaming it, I think.
Is it? Yeah. Well, look, it probably is, and I'm not up to date. To be honest with you, I've been too focused on season 4 of HBO's hit drama, Pelvis, which I know we both love.
Yeah.
And, I know it's a hit show, but not everyone's caught up with season 4. We're not going to give away the spoilers. There was a big kind of cliffhanger at the end of season 3.
Oof.
Would Jackie forgive Alex for what he said about Karen?
Yep.
You're not going to hear the answer from us here. But this is, for those who are unfamiliar, the very funny comedy all about the sexual relationships of seven orthopedic surgeons in Brooklyn. And it kind of set tongues wagging when it debuted 3 or 4 years ago for featuring real sex scenes, unsimulated sex scenes, which is, I know, how you first got interested in it, Pete. And but kind of more controversial than even that, that was kind of muted, was the fact that it had unsimulated surgery scenes.
Yeah,
and there was
yeah.
all this kind of, oh, should we be letting these sexy, young, untrained actors without medical licenses perform these surgeries on hip replacements and the like on real volunteers?
Turns out the answer was yes.
Turns out the answer was yes, and you know what? People didn't really care all that much.
No.
You know, there was a bit of controversy, but the show debuted and people loved it. It won a bunch of Emmys and Golden Globes, so no one's really minding about all the, in fact, homeless people that are being volunteered beyond their will for the show. But yeah. I think for the artistic end, it's valuable. Pete, you are up to date on Pelvis. What are your spoiler-free general thoughts on season four?
Well, we did get the conclusion to the season three cliffhanger.
Yeah, sure.
Who was what there again?
It was whether Jackie would forgive
Alex
what he said about Karen.
Remember, what Alex said has become the catch cry of the interim period between three and four, much along the lines of who shot JR back in.
Exactly. The Pelvies, show. Who are what the fans of Pelvis call themselves, were kind of calling that. So you're glad that they wrapped that up.
Okay. I am. What Alex said needed to be said. That's, and it has been said.
That's a very valid point. I've got some quick fire questions for you. Who is your favourite cast member? And you can't say Jerry Ferrara.
Why not?
Well, look, you know, people loved him as Turtle on Entourage,
yes.
And he's obviously made a great impression in Pelvis, but that's too easy. You know, everyone loves him.
Paulie Shaw's surprisingly star turn as Carlos.
You know what? A darker role for him, but that was really interesting to see him kind of play that type of character on TV. Not a type of character we'd seen often before.
He's channeling a Robin Williams, you know, melding Patch Adams and Phone Booth.
Yeah, that's right. And also Phone Booth.
No.
That's because Kiefer Sutherland's in the show as well.
That's right.
But only he is the voiceover of the... He's like the narrator several years later. Well, it's interesting is that the Paulie Shaw character, like Robin Williams, is, you know, from Mork and Mindy, an alien that has kind of infiltrated this young... It was kind of an odd choice season two to kind of introduce that aspect. How did you feel about John Travolta's three-episode arc as Fern's dad?
I couldn't really understand much what he was saying.
That was tough.
Which was tough. You know, I mean, I know that was all part of the character, but it was a surprisingly lackluster for me.
Lackluster. Okay, interesting. So a low point in an otherwise high season of Pelvis. Season four, it is not on DVD yet, but it is streaming. All four seasons are streaming from QuickFlix. And,
Once you've had your fill of True Detective and...
True Lawyer and True Caddy.
Yeah.
When they are eventually
when
made.
When they come.
Get started on Pelvis now, because...
True Vet is coming.
True Vet. Is that the other one? I didn't hear the third one. That's
get on to Pelvis.
Pete, they are my recommendations. I'll give one avoid. Please stay away from the sequel to Labyrinth that kind of got the internet all riled up a few months ago. Kind of, it came out to, you know, very little fanfare. Jennifer Connelly's back as, you know, her character a bit older. She returns to the Labyrinth to battle the Goblin King. The controversy here being David Bowie, no involvement. They got Pitbull in to play the Goblin King.
Yeah.
Look, avoid it. Do I need to say avoid the Labyrinth sequel with Pitbull?
Don't sully your fond memories of the original.
No.
With Labyrinth 2. Into the Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Iron Labyrinth.
Don't do it, people. Stay away. All go right. Pelvis and the Daphne Zuniga and Sasalki Afbornum Minim Ogbornum Sasalka Min.